this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, good morning. This is Steve Clark, and we are continuing our study through the book of 2 Timothy. We're in chapter 3. That's the first verse that we'll start with here today. Chapter 3, verse 1. I want us to try to get the picture that Paul is giving here, or the warning here. Paul has spent his life serving the Lord, at least the latter part of his life, living for Christ and preaching the gospel, getting stoned in one city and crawling out from under the rubble and going to the next and getting stoned there sometimes. And he was shipwrecked. He was in prison, captured many times by different, the Roman soldiers and different ones. And Paul lived a pretty long life of suffering. And here he is sitting in prison. And I'm sure those prisons back there didn't have all the modern conveniences of their day. They were for criminals. And, they probably just had a small window and it was cold and damp. But Paul had, he wrote a letter from that prison, and that's the letter here of 2 Timothy. And he was trying to encourage Timothy to press on, to fight the good fight of faith. And like we looked at yesterday, to follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But one of the main things that he's stressing here is the false doctrine and the people that are deceiving the church, that are hindering the work of God to go forward. And he mentions three pairs of people. In the first chapter we looked at this, see if I can find it here. In verse 15 it says, This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. I'm not sure I get those names pronounced right, but those two. And then we have over in chapter 2, we looked at, I think probably just yesterday or the day before, it has another pair of, in verse 17, says, and their word will eat as doth a canker or a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. And we have another pair of people that he brings out here in this chapter 3. And one of his main focuses here is telling Timothy that there's people that are not serving Christ, that are hindering the work of God. And he tells them to look out for them. He tells them to watch out. There's false teachers, false doctrine. There's things coming down the pike or down the way that you need to be careful about. And here in chapter 3, it goes into kind of the heart of his message here to Timothy, in a sense, it's been these examples for Timothy to be strong, to be a good soldier, to be a good athlete, like a farmer, and gives all these examples like we've talked about. But here, it seems like part of this whole message is about false teachers and about things that are going to happen in Timothy's generation. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Okay, so here they're still, this is still the early church. Paul was living during the time of Christ even, and this is still the early church. And here he's about ready to die, and he's passing on the torch, but he says, in the last days perilous times shall come. And he says, Timothy, there's things coming that is going to affect you, and I want you to be ready for it. And, this has been 2,000 years later. Here we are in 2013, 2,000 years later, and if things were going to affect Timothy, Paul was warning him, and I'm sure that it was more than for Timothy. God knew it was this whole, our Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and God knew, and he put this in there for not only Timothy, but for us also. But here we are 2,000 years later, and he says to us, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We are living in the last days. If Timothy was living in the last days, or, you know, he would be affected by these things, 2,000 years later, we have to see that how we are a lot closer than Timothy was. You know, even if the Lord tarries for a while, but it says, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that's just one of the trademarks of today's society, is people are lovers of their own selves. Whatever pleases themselves, all their fun and their sports and their this and their that and their television and their movies and their video games and it doesn't, you know, not being interested in the things of God. It's just lovers of their own selves, not even just the things of God, but even others, and putting the old folks in the nursing home and going about our way, you know, and just all kinds of different things. There's men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, seeking after things that other people have and wanting it, you know, even the American dream and having the nicest this or the nicest that. And it's not only in the world system, but it's also in religious systems also, that people want a nicer looking horse, or one that prances better, or one that, you know, this or that. I mean, it's just all kinds of different things that covetous and boasters, and, you know, I can do this and I'm, you know, whatever, proud. There's a lot of pride in our society today. Even in churches, there's pride, blasphemies, disobedient to parents. That thing is just rampant in society, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection. And this is, I think, a good mark for the gay people, or the homosexuals, the sodomites of today. You know, they don't have natural affection towards the opposite sex. It's unnatural affection. And even in our world in our nation here, with the love of animals and just the love of animals, and you know, people buying dogs for an outrageous amount or whatever it might be, and just the way that they treat their animals like they should be treating their children probably. And so it's without natural affection, truce breakers. They don't keep their word, false accusers, lawsuits that are going on in today's place, incontinent, meaning without control, without self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we've talked about that in, you know, that people are seeking after the pleasure of this world. But there's a contrast here that I want us to see. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, we need to be lovers of God and giving ourselves for others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetting way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live for thee. That's a poem written by, I actually have it on my wall here, by Charles, I can't quite read his name, Charles S. Meigs. Meigs. I don't know. But help me to live for others. And that's what we should be living for, is living for Christ and living for others, and not for our own for self-pleasures. Jesus said that if you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. It's in Matthew chapter 25, I believe. So here we have quite the list, and he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. To resist, to turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And this is the pair of people that I wanted us to take note of here today. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Well, I looked that up, and the names aren't given in the Old Testament, but most people, most Bible scholars, believe that it was when Moses stood before Pharaoh and he turned his rod into a snake. God turned his rod into a snake. Well, there were some magicians there, and these magicians copied a lot of the different things that Moses did, at least at the beginning, and this was one of them. They cast their rods or their sticks into snakes also, but then if you remember, Moses' snake went around and gobbled them all up. But it's thought that, you know, they were resisting Moses in that they were imitating the things that Moses was doing. It was an imitation. It wasn't the real thing, but it looked pretty real. And in that way, they were withstanding Moses. And so it's thought that these two men were, you know, those men there back in the Old Testament times. So what's the picture here? Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, imitated the real work of God, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And so I think what he's talking about here is the imitation of true Christianity. There's a lot of imitations out there in today's society. They have some things right. They say some right things. They even read out of the Bible and different things like that. But they teach false doctrine. They have many things that they take maybe one verse and build a doctrine out of. And, you know, we need to be careful of that ourselves. We need to be very careful that we are faithful to God's word and not like these imitators. And then he says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And I think I'm going to stop there, and we'll pick that up tomorrow, Lord willing, verse 10, and how Paul gives the reason why he should be listened to, or why Timothy should be able to trust him in what has been spoken through him in teaching. So we'll pick that up tomorrow, Lord willing. Thank you for listening, and I just hope that you will take these challenges, these encouragements to press in, follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ, and not be led astray by any false doctrine, any imitation that's out there that people have. And you know, we can see it in a lot of on the television and a lot of churches. There's an imitation out there and not the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God bless you today. Thanks for listening.